Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Your name, please.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, and away we go. We are getting closer to the MLS is Back tournament. Today, Real Madrid, Spurs, Sheffield United, Manchester City, Liverpool, all in action today. We're going to review that. Major League Soccer is getting closer. There have been some positive tests for COVID. FC Dallas amongst the teams with a number of players testing positive. The NWSL Challenge Cup is rolling on in Utah. The Copa por Mexico getting set to get started. How about something happy before we get into the soap opera that is Barcelona tonight? Great guest to the show, Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. He's a frequent guest, has become a father down in Mexico. So congratulations to Mexico at Mexico World Cup, Tom Marshall. Nice moment for him and his family. Also, our thoughts going out, our prayers to George Longoria. You know him from BBVA Stadium. Tremendous guy, big personality, security at the stadium. I've seen him at a lot of concerts as well, and I know he is fighting strongly against COVID-19. Today is the anniversary of Uruguay's Luis Suarez handball against Ghana in the World Cup 2010 in South Africa. We posted something over on Facebook Soccer Matters, and it's gotten a lot of reaction. Hard to believe that was 10 years ago. And remember, that denied Ghana the potential to get into the semifinals of the World Cup in 2010 in South Africa. That would have been the first time an African team had gotten to a semi. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, hit me up during the show. Facebook, Soccer Matters. GlennDavisSoccer.com, shameful promotion here. And don't forget, this show is brought to you and presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are our presenting sponsors. They get your game on the air. Last night, we were on the air in Austin, Texas. So here are the guests tonight. Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. He's been on the show before. He's going to take us deeper into the soap opera that is Barcelona right now. There is all kinds of differing things going on there. Financial issues, players leaving La Masia, this whole Griezmann thing where he was brought on and somewhat humiliated by Kiki Setien, the coach. There's problems with Setien and the players. It doesn't even look like the players are listening to him. The assistant coach is also part of this. There's all kinds of stuff. You're going to love hearing from him because he's in Barcelona. He's on the ground. Amubi Okugo. Played a lot of games for the Philadelphia Union, played in Major League Soccer. He's now on Austin Bold FC. Amobi will be on the show tonight because USL Pro getting set to get rolling again. And then, of course, glad to have on Matt Jordan, the Dynamo General Manager, here tonight as well. And we'll take Matt into a number of different topics here for you, the fan. Did Liverpool's loss to Manchester City today hurt? Now, I put this out on Twitter. It was not a troll. I'm a big fan of what Liverpool has done. It's remarkable. Some of the greatest soccer we've ever seen. Remember, they only lost out by a point last year. It's the first time in 30 years they've won the title. And I just simply said, you know, did this hurt today? Now, I know all the fans are going to come back and say it doesn't hurt. 4-0 to City. But those are your arch rivals. And you can rest assured that Liverpool being beaten today by Manchester City 4-0, yeah, who cares if you're a Liverpool fan? You've done everything. You've won the title for the first time in 30 years. But I'll tell you who cares. You know who cares? The players and their coach. Don't think that in a finite way today, that did not hurt guys on that field. Because those guys didn't get to the top of the world game and do what they did for Liverpool with a mentality that accepts losing any game, whether it's in practice or it's today against Manchester City. So, fan perspective, think of it. Klopp's pride came through in the post-match interview, which, by the way, was a very weird interview. The way this guy asked his questions was just silly, and Klopp handled it beautifully like he always does. 713-780-3776. The two most competitive managers in the world, and you don't think this pridefully meant something today? Just in this moment today. Rest assured, these are some of the most competitive men in the entire world. Okay, don't let the shaman holistic Jurgen Klopp let you believe that this guy is an ultra competitive and it did not hurt today that they lost. Okay. So there you go. There's my piece. All right. Speaking of Klopp, here's the interview. It's kind of weird. I don't like the questioning from the guy and how he frames the questioning. And I don't think Jurgen Klopp did either. Here's the soundbite after the game.
Jurgen, you said before the game we prepared as well as we can. We won't know until it starts how it will turn out. What did you make of it and the way the game panned out?
I think I understood your question in that manner that you were not sure how much it means to us, this game, or how much we are not sure. What did you mean by the question when you asked for preparation?
Pre-match, you said.
Look, I know.
We're all human beings.
Exactly.
We won't know.
But that was more of I understood it like attitude-wise. Are we really, is the game important to us? How will we go? And I saw a brilliant attitude. I saw boys who were fighting with all they have. We didn't behave like somebody who became chairman a week ago. So, like, it's not important. So that was all good. We lacked fluidity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's for sure. And in some situations, 50-50, they were quicker than us in mind. That's true as well. And that's what they used. Then the pitch becomes big immediately. So first goal, we leave Joe, felt like 5 minutes alone in a challenge with Sterling. There must be a second player. I think before the second goal, we lose the ball. The third goal could have been which makes no sense, but can happen. But just against City, you have their massive problems. They used their chances, not all, but a lot, and we didn't. So if City was a 100% deserved winner, of course, today, but like a 5-3 or something like that, I would have been possible as well. So it doesn't make the things better, but now it's a 4-0, and we have to take that, and we do that, and that's it.
At 0-0, did you have decent chances yourself?
You ask me? Why you ask me if we had decent chances?
No, do you think you had decent chances at 0-0?
We had moments. But you watch a game completely calm. Why you ask me if we had decent chances? It makes no sense, this question. If we have decent chances, ask me about them. So we had chances. We were in situations. Sadio Mane was in a box. We didn't use them. That's true. They were not clear enough in moments and stuff, but we had moments where we could have scored. And we didn't. So it was the situation with Ederson. It's a good moment for us. The goalie comes out, takes full risk. He's lucky in this situation. So maybe these kind of things, we had them, but for sure not exactly as often enough. And how always in football, if you don't score, it's difficult to mention chances, obviously, because then everybody forgets them immediately. Even I forget them, obviously, and that's the situation. But it's all okay. It's not nice. It's not what we wanted. But I wanted to see that we have really the right attitude. And I saw that, and with that I'm fine. And the result we have to take.
In any way, do you have to put it in perspective at all? The fact that, as we said before the game, you saw the attitude you want, you saw the things you wanted, but you've just won the title. Do you have to apply a perspective at all?
Sorry?
Do you have to apply perspective at all?
What does that mean? I don't understand the English now, sorry. What does it mean? Do we have to?
In terms of perspective, you've just won the title. You said they were quicker in certain areas yourself. You were happy with the attitude of your players tonight.
If you want to lead this story in the direction that we were not here that we were not focused on that game, then do it. So that's, you ask a second time now. When I speak about attitude, I like my team, how they set it up. I said that, and I thought it's clear. If you go again with that, I think we proved that point. And we proved as well that City is an unbelievably good team. So isn't it nice that in this league, another team can be champion, even when City is around and plays this kind of football, is able to play this kind of football. That's a surprise as well.
I was about to say, you also have to give credit for how well City played tonight.
Ah, I forgot that, maybe. Sorry. Yes, I said it. City is outstanding. I said that. I have absolutely to give credit. By the way, I do that always because they are incredible. I saw City's season. I didn't see a bad game. Honestly, even when they lost, they still played really good football. But in the end, the situation is like it is.
Thank you, Jürgen.
Welcome.
This is the best. Did you see that statement he made? I did not see Manchester City play bad football. I mean, that's from a football purist. That guy is awesome. He is awesome. Okay, so Liverpool, that was that. Liverpool, 86 points, 20 points ahead of City. Again, they're the title holders. They won the World Club Championship as well. And they're the European champions holders right now. So that takes us to some other results today. Sheffield United with a 3-1 waxing of Spurs and Jose Mourinho. Berge, Mousset, McBurnie. 31, 69, and 84th minutes. Spurs ninth. Sheffield United catapults above them to seventh place. Chris Wilder and Sheffield United get back on track. Still one of the great stories after coming up from the championship. So Jose Mourinho now. Think about this. And I said it on this show. I'm not sure it's that big of a deal that I said it, but much like Manchester United, this is not the team for him. And now you got to start to wonder. His last four clubs have been a disaster. Real Madrid, the players wanted him out. He went back to Chelsea. He did the whole thing with that. Remember the doctor, Eva Carneiro? The team doctor who got fired because of him. And she ultimately sued Chelsea. A mess there. Went to Manchester United. Never fit in my terms, a Manchester United manager, because he's defend first, not attack first, and low block and all that stuff. And I think it's difficult for him when he's got a lot of attacking players in a lot of cases. Tottenham, all rhetoric, throwing people under the bus already, Mr. Nice Guy for the first couple of weeks. So you got to say, what's up with Jose Mourinho? There's no doubt he's a talented manager, but has it passed him by? He's definitely in the category of autocratic managers. It's my way or the highway. I would say he's not the best developer of players. Always likes to kind of, when he's got a problem, open up the checkbook. And I think the top managers in the world today are a mix of autocratic, democratic, and holistic. If we want to use the word holistic. It's a mix of all of them. You might get a Jurgen Klopp there. You might get a Pep Guardiola. But Jose Mourinho, man, he just keeps getting jobs. Keeps getting jobs. Everton and Carlo Ancelotti, speaking of great managers, 2-1 over Leicester City, who continue to free fall. Rick Carlson and Gylfi Sigurdsson from the penalty spot. So Everton does Manchester United and Wolves a big favor here. 2-1 victory. That's a big one. West Ham United also getting a huge win as they knock off Chelsea yesterday, 3-2, which gets them above the drop zone. And you look at Chelsea and you go, that back four? My goodness. Lord, they need some defenders. So A few people who need a center back now in the Premier League. But they're definitely one of them. No question, in my opinion. Again today, Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. We're going to talk Barcelona. Amobi Okugo, Austin Bold FC, Matt Jordan, Dynamo general manager. Now, Dynamo, 3 weeks of training now. Full-out training. Their final session tomorrow at BBVA. They're going to head out on Sunday. And they will head down to Orlando. And there's, you know, a real watch on testing for COVID. There's all kinds of things put in place. The process, the testing guidelines, social distance, packaged meals. They're going to take a charter plane down there. All kinds of buses. They're going to get tested on site when they get there. But you just have to think again. And I know I've mentioned this a lot on the show, but credit the medical staff and coaches, and, you know, constantly reminding players. And look, these tournaments don't come off unless people remain disciplined. And that is players and coaches and staff. But it's a little nerve-wracky hearing, you know, some of the COVID cases coming up. I think Minnesota United has a couple of players left behind as well. By the way, they canned their whole youth setup that was headed by Tim Carter. That's a weird one for me. Not sure about that one. You know, at a time where growing your own and doing it in your own community and using youth teams as vehicles of promotion and connection, so important. That's a strange one to me. La Liga today, Real Madrid does not play well. And actually, Getafe really controls them and was taming the beast that is Real Madrid and Zidane, who's done a remarkable job with them. In fact, I have it on the TV right now in front of me, not watching it because we're doing radio here. I'm in the home studio as usual. Aaron Raybould is back at Gal Media. But pretty remarkable how Getafe posed real problems for them today and limited their chances, very sort of Atletico Madrid-like, and they lose it on a penalty. Penalty kick from Sergio Ramos. What a leader he is. All right, we will take a break here. We got more to come on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Houston Dash will be in action this weekend after a 3-3 draw in their opener. We'll take some phone calls if you want. 713-780-3776. Did Liverpool's loss to Manchester City hurt today? Or is it simply nobody really cares? Players did, I can tell you that. So did Jurgen Klopp. 10 years ago, Luis Suarez in South Africa denied the Black Stars of Ghana with a goalkeeping move on the goal line. Ghana would then miss the penalty. I think it was Asamoah. And Uruguay would advance. All right, we'll take a break. Big winners today. Sheffield United, Everton, Manchester City, and Real Madrid. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by the one and only John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Messi que busca su gol número 699. Le va a pegar Messi. El árbitro que da la orden. ¡Valió!
That was 700 for Lionel Messi, but that is, boy, that has been pushed aside based on all the troubles that are going on at Barcelona. And tonight we will be talking to Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Barcelona. This is a great interview. You're going to hear some things about Barcelona that's pretty concerning. Hoping the Houston Culés supporters group here in Houston and those other supporters groups around the countries will be tuning into Jordy a little bit later in the show. It's a long interview, too, so there's a lot of information in there. Houston Dash, 4th of July, this Saturday, 9 o'clock Central Time. They'll be taking on Olympic Lyon Rennes. And then they'll play Sky Blue FC and then Washington. So they've got four games here in this NWSL Challenge Cup after Orlando dropped out, which also very bizarre to me. I don't quite understand that because a couple of players got COVID. German Bundesliga started, and you know there was some positive tests there. I mean, that's natural. I think the thing you got to look at is just if all of a sudden there was a wave of players and it really all consumed a couple of teams, then you got a problem. I'm still not clear what the hotel situation is down in Orlando when it comes to Major League Soccer and MLS's back tournament. I'm assuming staff in those hotels have to live and stay in the hotel. Because if they're going home every night, that's not quarantine. July 8th, MLS is back, is going to return with a doubleheader. Orlando City against Inter Miami, Chicago Fire, and Nashville. There'll be no fans in the Disney Complex. Again, it's 26 teams, six groups. The Dynamo will start it off in Group F with LAFC, the LA Galaxy. Galaxy today announcing that Chicharito will be available in this tournament. And then the Dynamo will also have Portland in their group. $1.1 million prize pool. CONCACAF Champions League berth at stake. The first three games will count against your regular season. Major League Soccer is hoping to play 12 to 18 games back in stadiums. Now, USL Pro is planning on having 25%, I believe, fans in stadium as they come back. So there's lots of conflicting things going on and differing ways of going about things. Copa Mexico, Copa por Mexico, four teams in Mexico City will be playing their games at the University Stadium where UNAM Pumas play, and then four teams in Guadalajara at the Akron Stadium, which used to be called the OmniLife. So they're going to have sort of their kind of tournament to kind of whet the appetite of people, get themselves back playing games very similar also to Major League Soccer. So that's pretty interesting as well. Facebook Soccer Matters. George Rivas over there has two comments. He says, Klopp, all class, as was Pep when they celebrated Liverpool when they entered the field. And then George went on to say that was a terrible handball call on Kane's first goal. And George is actually right there. And I forgot to mention that. Despite the fact that it ended 3-1, Sheffield United, there was a moment where the game was very quickly tied by Sheffield United. They had just scored in the 31st minute through Berge. But Harry Kane scored a goal, looked a legit goal, and then they did a VAR review on it, and they went back, and a player fell down. Did not look like he handled the ball to me. So in essence, that was one you put a circle around when it comes to Spurs because, you know, 1-1, it might have been a different game. It ends up 3-1. Sheffield United clearly the better team, and more problems for Jose Mourinho. Boy, how quickly it can all go south, huh? And for Spurs fans and Houston Spurs fans who I know are very passionate about their club. You know, the good times with Mauricio Pochettino, the new stadium, focus going in different directions, type of soccer being played now is not as appealing, the players don't seem to have the buy-in, how quickly it can all go south. Anyway, I miss the days when Pochettino was patrolling the sideline. So, Liverpool going after Bayern Munich's Thiago. That's what we're hearing from the transfer perspective. Leroy Sané, Manchester City, is going to head to Bayern Munich and be one of the top three highest paid players. There's also been some weird stuff going on out there. You remember Christian Dugarry, who played for France when they won the World Cup? Listen to what this clown does. And he could be a court jester, I think. He made some really weird comments about Messi. He called the Argentine a 1.5-meter tall kid who was half autistic. I mean, who says things like this? He was talking about the whole Barcelona situation and the 2-2 draw with Atletico Madrid and Griezmann coming on late in that game. And, of course, he's defending Griezmann because he's French. And there is some real things that you got to think about with Griezmann and this manager, Kiki Setien. That does not make sense. I mean, to put him on in the 90th minute against his former team, Atletico Madrid, coached by Cholo Simeone, is that to humiliate the guy? Seriously. I mean, what's the point of that? And is there more going on in training? You'd have to probably think yes. Now, Dugarry goes on to talk about the fact that he thinks that Griezmann and Messi have a bit of a problem. And he says about Griezmann, he says, quote, and this is Dugarry, he says, "What is Griezmann afraid of? A kid who is 1.5 meters tall and half autistic," said the 98 World Cup winner. "All he has to do is show some balls at this point." What an idiot, Dugarry. Then he goes on to say, quote, "I've been saying for a year he has a problem with Messi. He has to hit him in the face. It's true that Messi could give him more passes, but honestly, I'm not surprised. Griezmann loses balls, doesn't play with confidence. Griezmann should go and talk to Messi to solve the problem." Well, how does he know he hasn't? This is a club in real trouble. Now Dugarry has issued the apology. His apology is, "I'm sincerely sorry for the breath death of my remarks." Own him. You said him. Okay? You said him. And you're on television. You have a responsibility. And to say those types of things about maybe the greatest player in history, who knows? Setien is really a problem. He does not seem in control of this team. To bring on Ansu Fati in such a critical game, and Griezmann in the 85th and 90th minute, I don't get it. Luis Suarez, like I said the other night, was lumbering all over the place. So then, to make this thing even more interesting, Griezmann's father comes back out on social media, and so does his brother. And they look like idiots. I mean, it's like youth soccer. "My parents and my brother are coming to my defense through social media." I don't know. Bit strange. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Honestly, social media, as great as it is for so many things, boy, does it create some monsters. And they're divisive monsters. Oof. And then there's a lot of us who have grown up, with it, unlike me. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. You can hit me up on Twitter. We did put up a little bit of a poll today on Soccer Matters GD. With players testing positive for COVID-19 a week from the start of MLS's back tournament, do you think the tournament should go on? You can share your take on the show. 51% of the people said yes. 49% said no. I don't think it's panic time yet. But it's all going to come down to the protocol laid out and how it's followed. Much like society. Now, are we going to go nuts on the 4th of July and have giant gatherings and get together? I don't know if it's the right time for that here in Houston. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. Again, we've got a wonderful program tonight. We've got Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Spain, will be on the show in the second hour. Coming up will be Matt Jordan in the next segment. And in fact, I think we'll take a break right now. We'll come back Matt Jordan, the Dynamo general manager, going to be joining us shortly. We'll talk everything Houston Dynamo. Again, the Dynamo will be leaving Sunday. One more training session for Tab Ramos and company. And by the way, Tab was on the show on Tuesday night. A lot of good insight there. Podcastarena.com is where you get the podcasts of this show. And you may be interested in that. Last night, we were on in Austin, presented by DaspitLawAustin.com, HornFM.com for the podcast of that show. We had Tyson Wall, the GM of the Academy side of their program, on the show last night. They've added a few more teams. So they're under 13, under 14, and under 15 up there. Here in Houston, things continue on with the youth development side of things under Paul Holliker. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
Далі на Стерлінг зіграв. Стерлінг, удар, гол! Забиває Рахім Стерлінг на 35-й хвилині. 2-0 на користь Ман-Сіті.
How about that, Raheem Sterling? I'm not sure what language that was. With Alabama shakes, that doesn't happen very often. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We roll on here from the home studio. Couple of things here. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, are our presenting sponsors. We thank them for getting soccer on the air, and it gives us an opportunity to talk about our game, our local pro clubs, the international game. We've had some really good interviews with Adafe Mathieu from Lagos, Nigeria, on Nigerian football. Later on tonight, we go to Barcelona with Jordi Sunyer in the second hour to talk about all the drama going on at Barcelona. Right now, though, pleased to welcome in Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. Matt, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. I appreciate you accepting to come on the show today, and you and I have had some chats and discussions as of late. I guess the first thing, there is a little nervousness around MLS fans with some of these COVID positive tests coming back. FC Dallas, one team. Is everything all systems go still?
Yeah, we're preparing full force, getting ready to finish the week strong and then to head down to Orlando on Sunday. We've been working extremely hard to make sure that, we're following all the protocols that are necessary. And it's really a tribute, I have to say, Glenn, to the constant work of our medical staff, of our performance staff, of our equipment staff, our chief medical officer, our internal COVID-19 task force that we're always, we're having regular meetings. And so it's been a group effort. And I think the players have really appreciated that we've been as careful as possible and doing everything we can to position them to get to Orlando safely to be successful.
Yeah, the players must be chomping at the bit. We're talking to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan to get real competition. You and I have talked, the transfer market, how is that going to change? Or do you have any inkling how that may change in the future for you and how maybe you're going to do your business?
Yeah, I think that this is, obviously in everybody's lives, we've all been affected no matter what your profession and no matter what your industry. And, the world soccer market, world football market is no different. I think everyone's been really kind of waiting and seeing, okay, hey, what's it look like to start getting back to play? Obviously you've seen the leagues in Europe that they've restarted playing and to finish their seasons. And really what that's done is it's made it a monumental task for FIFA to reset the windows and readjust the windows. And so I think that, it's going to be a work in progress for all of us. I mean, I'm on the phone all day, every day, to different sporting directors and different agents throughout the world. And we're all really bouncing ideas off each other because it's something we've all entered into uncharted territory. But I will say, there's going to be opportunities. It's just a matter of, the right timing.
And when will the window open up this summer?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, normally, you know, our window is through the beginning of July into the beginning of August. Really, what, and you've probably seen the announcements that just come out. You know, we've had a readjustment of our own window here in the U.S. where we have a short 2-day window before the tournament. That's really to kind of get in players that were pre-signed to deals or that was really in the works, you know, prior to the pandemic. So there won't be many additions. That's why you've really seen a lot of homegrown signings. Signings from clubs, USL teams, and then also players whose ITCs, which is your international transfer certificate, that's in the United States. You know, Glenn, that's the real challenge with this, is anytime a player moves throughout the world, you know, what comes with them is their international transfer certificate. And so we have to move from one country to the next, and also what ties into that is that you have to have a visa and a work permit tied to that, and really due to the pandemic, that's all been on hold completely. So now the window is going to reset after the Orlando tournament, and it's going to run, you know, from August into October. So it's going to be a whole new beast for all of us to work through, but it's going to be a good challenge.
A lot of good things going on. Nico Lemoine, a winger type, been signed. Juan Castilla, the 15-year-old who Tab Ramos and I've spoken to you about him as well. You both are so high on this young man, Marcelo Palomino. This looks like a real push towards the youth side of things. You've had some real successes with the academy now. Is this going to be kind of the blueprint of the Dynamo in the future? And how are you going to blend that with signings? And what type of signings will help to enhance the youth?
Yeah, look, I think that it's a critical part of what we're building. And I've said that, you know, on multiple occasions. And that really ties into the hiring of Tab Ramos. I mean, that's not anybody in the country who has more experience of working in that space than Tab over the last decade and being successful. And really, you know, that, you know, him coming on board and the pleasure of having him here tied into the restructure of our academy. And also, you know, how we've really focused on building, you know, 5 and will be 6 this fall centers of excellence throughout town. You know, a big part of what we want to do is get more players coming from Houston. I mean, Houston's a great soccer market. It's a rich soccer market. And, you know, and I think, you know, as leaders in the market, we have a responsibility to work, you know, and to be leaders, but also to listen. And, you know, and I have to give a lot of credit to Paul. You know, he's really come in with our Soccer Starts at Home program and restructuring our academy and you know, and just the young players that are coming up the pipeline now with the 17th headline by Juan Castilla and Danny Rios and Logan Ebb, and obviously the signing of Marcelo. And so that's a big part of our plan. And we want to see more kids from Houston. We want to see more kids from H-Town, you know, coming, walking out that tunnel, because there's just a certain level of pride that I think we all feel when that happens, you know, and when Memo scores, I mean, I feel a little extra happy, you know, and I want to have that feeling more and more.
Yeah, it's exciting. And we've got tremendous history. I mean, you think of all the players that went into Major League Soccer from here, Josh Gardner, Sam Forco, Chris Bondi, the Baba brothers, Imad, Johnny Torres. I mean, we can go on and on with the amount of players that have played in Major League Soccer. So this is music to my ears, but it's music to a lot of people's ears that we're gaining some traction here in youth development and seeing these players sign, and then obviously Tab being in there. All right, so here's the one that fans really are on right now. They want to ask you, number one, why did you pass on Jürgen Damm, went to Atlanta?
We've been tracking Jürgen Damm for a while, and seriously looked at his situation, when we went through it as a technical staff, myself, Tab, the coaching staff, you know, we just felt it wasn't the right fit. You know, we just felt it wasn't the right fit, and you know, Jürgen is a good player. You know, you're going to see in Atlanta, you know, he's going to play as a wing back. really, anytime you're looking to add a player, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not like you just, you know, basically decide, okay, hey, you know, let's just add this player tomorrow, right? I mean, you know, you're going through positional profiles, you're going through KPIs, you know, with your scouting department, you're going through, you know, watching the player live and making sure he's a good fit. And Jurgen's a good player, he's a good person. I've met with him in person. And you know, we just made the decision that it wasn't the best fit for us at this time, and that was a collective decision, not just me, you know, but you know, as a group, and you know, definitely wish him well, but we seriously looked at him, and that, you know, I hope that can give you maybe a little bit of a background on that situation.
No, that's a great platform for you to describe to people that you know you're right. Just because he's available doesn't mean he fits your plan. So that's a great way to answer that question. The other thing that's confusing, and it is sometimes even confusing to me, and I've been around this league since the beginning, the discovery rights process for the average fan is hard to understand. So the Dynamo had the right; they were in line first for Jurgen Damm. They could sign him. Or his rights now are negotiable. The rights get sold to Atlanta. They sign him for $50,000. How do you get to that fee? And is it simply just negotiation, $50,000, to give them the right to sign him? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, Glenn. Well, really, the discovery process works as follows. All MLS teams have a discovery list, you know, and it's changed over the years. You know, at the moment, it's seven players, okay? So what you can do is, you know, through your scouting and your player recruitment department, you know, you add a player that you're tracking. I mean, usually you track a player for a number of months, right? Or sometimes even for a year. You know, I remember when we brought, you know, Albert Elise and several other players, you know, I mean, we had them on our discovery, you know, list for over 12 months. So you have... You know, you have a player that you've identified that you've been scouting and recruiting on your list. And that what that means, your list of seven, that gives you the first priority to go and to negotiate to sign that player. So as we were seriously looking at Dom, you know, we were number one in discovery ranking. And then we were basically in the process of deciding, okay, hey, you know, is this going to make sense or not? And it's not like you're only looking at that player, right? You're looking at several players in that position. And at that time, you know, Atlanta also had some interest in him. And so they also put a discovery because you can put multiple discoveries on the same player. So three teams could put a discovery on the same player. But the one that does it first, which in this scenario, we were first behind, you know, for Jurgen, and Atlanta was second. Then there's what you call, and I hate to get in the weeds too much for the listeners, but you go through what you call the if they want to try to, I guess, you know, force the issue, there's a what you call a discovery resolution conflict process, okay? And so then what they do is they post $50,000 of allocation money that then gives them the opportunity to go try to negotiate with the player. We as the number one team can decide, okay, hey, we will accept that or we won't. And so that's really how that works. And I'll give you an example. Like, you know, Kiki Struna, we were number two in the discovery resolution process, in the discovery process with him with NYCFC. And so it was almost like an exact opposite of what we just went through with Atlanta. So we posted the 50K. We liked Kiki. You know, we went to travel to Palermo to meet with him, you know, to watch him live. And then, you know, we had the opportunity to basically move them out of the way by posting that 50K when we came to an agreement with him.
Got it. Matt, this is great stuff here. We're talking to Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager. I know you have a great offer on the table to Albert Elise. Some reports it's the biggest contract in club history. When do you want, expect, or hope to kind of get an answer from Albert so, you know, you and Tab can realize how to move forward, you know, with the roster?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're in regular communication with Albert and his representatives, and yeah, I mean, obviously you alluded to a very substantial offer that was presented, and you know, and right now we're working through it, Brian. I mean, I think that's probably the best way for me to describe it. It's not resolved one way or the other yet. But we've had healthy discussions with Albert and very open discussions as well. And, you know, and so it's something, I mean, you know, we'd like to have him here. We've made a big effort. Our ownership group's made a big effort. And but he's also a player that, you know, there is a demand for him in the world. But then the other thing he has to think about, you know, at this time, him as representative is like, how's the market look different in the world right now? Post, you know, as we're dealing with the pandemic, right? So that, yeah. A lot of that has an effect on you know how you view all this as well. So I guess probably the best way for me to describe it is we're working through the process.
Well, Matt, listen, we're up on a hard break. Thank you very much for answering some great questions here tonight. I think it provides some clarity for Dynamo fans. Hoping everything goes smoothly for the team to get down to Orlando. And as always, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Glenn, as always, thank you so much. And genuinely appreciate everything you're doing for soccer in the city. Thank you.
Hey, Matt, by the way, are you going to Orlando as well, or do you stay here? How does that
work? Oh, yeah. No. I'll be there the whole time.
I kind of figured you would be, but it was a loaded question, I guess.
I'm not going to miss out on that. So I definitely want to be with the team and the guys. And, I got to tell you, I'm just so happy to see these guys out in the field with smiles on their faces. I mean, it's been a tough few months. It really has. And we're all in this together. You know, we're all, you know, you and I were talking about this the other day. We're all in this together. And I, you know, I've met with every staff member. We even had a big team and all staff meeting the other day. And we just, you know, we got to weather the storm, you know, and that's what we're doing. And we're going to get through it.
Good work, Matt. Good inspirational final comment there. We're going to take a break. Thank you again, as always. Best of luck down in Orlando. We'll talk to you soon. That's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.